So it sounds like John will be here any minute. Here he comes now. We have not filled your spot. There you go.
She stole my spot.
Yeah.
Was this your spot?
Where's the third one?
Right there.
Okay, let's go. Right up
there's your seat.
Oh.
Paper.
Oh, like I'm back at school or something. I should ride the bus with you.
Was she bossy then?
Did she want
to
be?
No, she was
shy.
We'll talk later. All positive.
You're the next.
You? I'll tell you some secrets.
Ooh, we're staying after this meeting.
See those cheekbones? Forget about it.
Kristen, according to my clock, it's 5:45. I don't know what that is, military time, but
17:45, and my clock is still jacked on my laptop. So, all right, let's call this meeting to order. I'm having some issues trying to get my agenda, so I apologize. It doesn't want to play nice today.
Okay. Tell me if there's a way I can help.
I think I'm okay. So we will call this meeting to order at 17:45. We'll do roll call. Christian Taylor, aye. Sean.
Aye.
John is no longer here. Wilma.
Okay. Here.
Stacy.
Here.
We have the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ooh, flag. Flag right there.
They don't have a flag. Just kidding. Hang on. Usually have that up and ready. Sorry, everybody. Okay. Share on the screen. They're seeing
it. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
liberty, and justice for all.
Okay, so we need an approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Wilma. I'll second. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Thank you.
I want to let everyone know that I invited Nick Trover to show up any minute now to give us a quick update on the well. So I'm hoping we can just incorporate him in. Okay.
Of course.
And I want to bring up that there were some questions. If I can just address it real quick before we take on the consent agenda. I think Stacy had wondered why we would have a data sharing agreement with UC Davis. And we are the recipients. We're participating in a training program we have a teacher here to learn computer science and teach computer science to students. It's Miss Alexander is doing it with all the middle grades, right? Because they do a rotation.
Yes.
And part of that is they request us to share data with the students participating. So there'll be nothing identifying about them. But the idea is, are their math scores improving? Like, is there an improvement in academics? So UC Davis is doing the study along with the group that's, you know, all of Lassen County. Kelly, you're part of this too. You did some training as an administrator. Can you give us anything more?
Yeah, the owl just went out. So, there we go.
Yeah, so I did it as an administrator this year. And so it was mostly kind of the importance of why computer science is in school. And then, so I did like a 2-day kind of thing about it, talking about all the ways that it can look, especially up here too, even though we live in an area that's not really a computer science-y, if you will. And then next year I will do it as a teacher to actually like implement like computer science. So like coding, computer programming, like all that kind of stuff. So I'm doing it on both sides.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope, Stacy.
Thank you.
All right, Christian, you're on for.
Oh, sorry. Got distracted. I'm kind of like a squirrel. I apologize. Okay, so we need to approve the consent agenda. Have a motion?
Move to approve.
Thank you, Sean. I'll second. All in favor? Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
And Stacy?
Aye.
Hey, and look, it's Nick Trover.
It's good timing for you. Thank you.
You ready for me?
It's a good moment for you to jump in here. And I let everyone know that you were going to show up to do a little update.
Okay, perfect. Perfect timing. Thank you. So I'm just going to give you an update on the well project. We've got the well drilled and set. They actually did test pumping yesterday. I don't have the results of that test pumping yet. I should have them tomorrow, and Sherry, I will forward them to you so that you can share them with the board. All indications right now are that everything's great, no problems. The transformer set, the pad is set, all the electrical gear is set. We're waiting on the electrical to be pulled from the Plumas Rural Electrical Cooperative, and that'll probably be in the next month or so. We're working on some issues, not issues per se, but to make sure that we're all on the same page in terms of where the easements will go for the running of the conduit, because there will be an easement that goes between the power poles and the transformer. The transformer is at the well site location, which is about 200 feet or so off of the road. And then we've also started excavating for an entryway. We didn't necessarily need it right now, but there's money in the budget and it was a requirement of our use permit for the future development if we ever need to. So we decided to go in and add the entry from Doyle Loop Road to the site. So the concrete will get started next week. And we will have a nice concrete entryway that will be able to be utilized for any future development. We won't have to modify it for anything in the future. And then we are also starting the entry driveway to the parking area, I believe, tomorrow. So making some pretty good progress. We should be out of there by the beginning of the month. There might be a few things that are going to be waiting to get completed, like the pulling of the electrical power from Plumas Rural Electrical Cooperative to complete that portion, but we should be mostly done by the beginning of November.
And so a couple that, I want to talk real quick about ups and downs of prices from what we originally had as a, estimated work. You want to just share what?
Yeah, so, excuse me, let me pull that up real quick. Give me just 1 second. So I have the numbers and the items here. So the original contract was $310,000 or so. We had a reduction in cost due to when we were drilling the well, they hit a really hard spot of rock. And what happens when you're drilling is that rock could be a foot thick, it could be 100 feet thick. You don't really know. But we were already down to about 90% of our planned depth. And at that point, they did some initial testing and were pretty confident that we had the volume of water necessary. We actually found water within, I think it was 15 or 20 feet of the surface. So we were pretty confident in the water rates that we were going to be expecting to get that were required for any future project. I believe it's about 200 gallons per minute or so. So we were confident that we were going to get that. So we decided, instead of trying to spend extra money to break through that rock formation that would have only given us another 30 or 40 feet, I believe it was, we just said, hey, we're going to stop here and we'll just take a credit for the depth that we didn't go. And that was about $20,000. We also, the original plan was to use a different style well setup, where we had a pressure tank and we changed it to what's called a VFD, which is a variable frequency drive. It basically means that a typical well that you probably have for like a house is either on or off. And then when it turns on, it pressurizes the tank. When it turns off, when the pressure hits a certain level, it turns off and it's just on or off. A more efficient and better well system is that variable frequency drive, which gives you kind of like a throttle, like in a car, where if you need a little bit of water, the well turns on a little bit. If you need a lot of water, it gives it full power. And that way you don't actually have to have a pressure tank, because the well is pressurizing the system as necessary. So because of that, we also removed the tanks that were part of the system. And so we don't need that. We saved some money there. But in our discussions with the county regarding the access to the property, again, this was kind of a requirement of the use permit. They wanted an approach. We didn't need to have the approach necessarily, but it would have been an awkward entry and exit if we didn't have it, and they didn't want to allow some just some gravel or something. So we decided to go with a concrete entryway that will be utilized for the future for any development. It'll meet all the county requirements. The county's already signed off on it. We have the permit, and that added a cost. So with the deductions and the addition of the concrete entryway, it changed the contract by about $4,300 more than we'd planned, but there's money in the budget from the DWR grant, and none of that money is coming out of Long Valley's pocket.
Oh, that's positive.
Yeah, I think that entryway is going to be really useful in the future for whatever you need. You're not going to have to worry about updating it in the future, and it'll provide easy access.
I have a question. Is there plans to put a fence around that electrical box and that, so those cows don't destroy it?
Yeah, I believe there is some fencing in the plan. I need to confirm with our contractor. We did some value engineering, but we do, if that fencing isn't part of it, again, I'll double check. There's money in the budget to add that in.
Great. We were talking about a little upgrade on the fencing, perhaps. So.
Correct. Right now, I believe, what did I say, Sherry? Where's my note here? We've got about $24,000 in funds that can be used for various purposes at this point that haven't been attributed to anything. So there's still some money in the budget to utilize in various areas.
And what's again,
that's all money that's not coming out of Long Valley's pocket.
Even when you're talking about the $24,000 that remains currently, have you already deducted what it's going to cost for the transformer work?
Yes. So right now we have Butte Construction's original contract, the addition of the change order, which added $4,000, $4,300, the power, which is about $8,500. That gives us a excess budget of about $24,000, just under $24,000.
And then I had a question. What about everything that's out there now? Would that be, I don't really know what all that entails, but is that anything that people would be interested in stealing, like copper or metal, or because it's out there not protected, even with the fence? We know in this area that things get either vandalized or stolen.
Now, there really shouldn't be a whole lot to warrant theft. I of course anybody will steal anything, even if it doesn't make sense sometimes, but there isn't anything out there that is of much value sitting on the ground there. Sherry actually sent you a message earlier. I don't know if you've got my text message. I just sent a picture of what the well looks like currently. There's not a lot above ground. All the, the motor and everything is below ground, so above ground is just some steel piping, some valves, and then the electrical panel and the transformer. And if somebody wants to try to get into the electrical panel or the transformer, that's probably not going to end well. So somebody may vandalize something or try to steal it, but there's not a whole lot there to actually go after.
Okay, that's good.
That is a good question.
Okay.
We've seen it firsthand.
Okay, right. Silly. Okay. Any other questions for Sean? No. Just wanted you to have an update because we're nearing the end of the project, which is great.
Did we want to talk about anything with the USDA or anything, Sherry? Or do you want to wait for until we have some more info? Or
yeah, I have it as an info item, so I'm going to give them a quick rundown. I think we're okay on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course, you could hang out for another hour, but
that's okay. I'll let you take it.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Nick.
He's going to be up next Tuesday if anybody wants to go over to the property. He's going to go work with the contractors and check everything out. So. Sorry, Kristen.
You're fine. You're fine. So that puts us at public comment. Do we have public that wants to comment?
Nope, they don't want to comment.
Okay, moving on then. So up first is reports. Do any of the board members have a report? The only thing I'm going to say, and I don't know if it's appropriate at this time, but personally, I'm totally and completely against the mandate for mandatory COVID vaccines for our teachers and our students.
So heard.
So that's all I got.
Okay. Well, I'm next. So I'll jump right in.
Okay.
I sent you a pretty lengthy list of things that are going on. It's all complex and complicated and changing all the time. And I wanted to add, I actually got to be part of a meeting with the state superintendent, Tony Thurman, the other day. And I learned, I'm actually going to meet with the head in the state, this Dr. Lee, who is in charge of mental health support for the state and something called community schools. So he's going to meet with me to talk about, my thing is we just don't have people here to come in as therapists. Our behavioral health in the county has nobody they can send. In Portola, we've been able to buy 4 hours from the Plumas County services, which is great. But nothing is available in Lassen. And we just, you know, telehealth is fine, but it's not ideal by any stretch of the imagination, especially I think for kids. I think it's not great for adults either, but we're making do, but I think we need more. And because we've had the fires that have come through, I think I'm trying to share with everybody that that's also a factor and create need than pandemic related and everything else. So we'll see what they can do. But it brought up this whole idea of community schools. And quite honestly, I'd never heard of what a community school model or community school concept. And what that is, they want the school to really be a center in the community and have health services and other kinds of services. Maybe things that happen like at the Herlong
Resource Center,
like to have those kind of resources right at the school. So they're easily accessible to families and students. And so apparently this is a really big deal for the state of California. They added it as one of their initiatives to make as many schools, and they're putting some money out for it.
Are they getting us the people? No, seriously, that's my only question. It all sounds great, but I'm just wondering. So,
right.
You're going to make your little bunkhouse in the back.
See, we have that other house in Portola, which I think we trick out as a. What do you call the facility when you go to college? The dorm. A dorm. We make it as a teacher dorm. or a staff dorm and start, you know, have a little van that runs up to Doyle, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's bring them from out of state. I am ready to go out of state and start looking for people. Community schools model. And then I mentioned something about Caltrans in my meeting note, in my report. And literally this afternoon, Jared got an email from them. Do you want to just give us a quick update on the Caltrans business?
So Caltrans is doing a huge stretch of the highway, and they're redoing the whole sidewalk, and they're turning it to become ADA compliant. So what they do is that I happened to run into the guy who was assessing it at the moment in time, and he assesses the value for the little, oh, can I share, Sherry?
Oh, sorry, yeah, hang on.
So he assesses the value of the little 199 square feet that they want to be able to mess up. And when I say mess up, like do construction work on it, and then they'll leave it pretty in the end. But let me grab it. So we're just talking about, can you guys see that all right? This little corner right here, making it more ADA compliant. And then there's a chance of them, you know, making a little bit of a mess with their equipment in this area. So they assessed the 200 square feet, calling it, I think it was $250 odd, but because how they work is they don't pay anybody less than $1,000, they'd give us $1,000 to use that land for that time. And then also they give us $1,000 if we process the paperwork in a reasonable amount of time. So they're going to make it ADA compliant. They're going to do it. So there's that.
To me, like, we don't have a whole lot of choice in this deal.
No, it's going to happen, but it can happen smoothly or more awkwardly, right?
So they put forth, you know, an offer now to pay us that money and do things, but nice. Good for Portola to get.
Oh. And this is probably when I was talking to the guy who's like, it might not be 3 years until we actually get to touch it, but you know, they're in the initial planning at this point. So they want to get all the permissions now.
Right. Thank you. I think that was it for my report, Christian, that I needed to okay. add.
When are we, is DMS is supposed to come in at 6?
Yep. I'm sending him a note. Are you good just skipping over that for the moment? And we'll see if he...
We can, do you want to go to the informational items?
You bet.
Okay. Thank you. So informational item A is the AB 361 Brown Act requirements for legislation through the date of January 24th, 2024.
It's actually 1/1/24. I don't know how I did. Well, you can see I'm words, numbers, you know. The legislature made some extensions to the Brown Act exemptions, and you all can work from home during a board meeting now. Not that we desire to, everyone, but you can continue to do it from home till the end of January 2022. And then the other part is they're waiving through 24. It's really about waiving some of the other elements like
the other elements.
The other, yeah.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
I thought it was important for you to know that you could work, you know, you could be working from home. We don't have to put your home address to say that the public has access to that. But then after that, you could meet from your house, but we'd have to put your address starting in February.
Of 24.
Of 22.
Oh.
This piece is only till then.
Okay.
Okay. I think most of the other things I had read really did not apply to us. We still have to open up our other centers because we're a nonprofit operating a charter school in two counties. So we still are caught up in, you know, that piece. So Jared and Kelly still need to open those spaces. So maybe Christian, you'll have to pop over there after January.
I get to hang out with Jared. That'll work.
So that was really it on that info item.
Okay. And then the COVID-19 plan for testing at schools.
So we started testing on Tuesday. So I trained Kelly how to do the weekly testing in Susanville. And next week I'll train Jared how to do the weekly testing in Portola. And then I will be doing weekly testing here in Doyle. So we're going to do it once a week. Depending on, I think Jared's doing Tuesday, we're doing Monday.
Okay. And
going with that.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I just was wondering, I know the last time we talked, there was some that might not be willing to. Did everybody end up complying with being tested?
Right now, yes.
Okay, so then there's the LCAP.
Yep, Matthew is here now, Christian. Do you want to?
Okay, perfect. Then we're going to hand it over to Matthew from DMS.
Hello, I apologize for the delay, guys. So I will be presenting our financials through August. Would you like me to share my screen?
Yeah, that'd be great.
You got it. All right, well, thank you again for having me here this evening. I will be sharing our financial update through August 31st of 2001. To start out, I'm gonna go cover the summary for you guys, a little bit of the narrative. Cash flow.
We're not seeing.
Oh.
We're seeing some other screen.
Let me.
Make it bigger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
There we go. Zoom was trying to join the screen. Is that better?
Much better. Thanks.
All right. So first, I'm going to start with our narrative, a little bit of the summary of where we are at through 2 months of the year. Cash flow for both Long Valley and Thompson Peak is looking very strong, with over 250 days of cash on hand for both schools, well over the 70% range for both sites, which is great news for our cash ending balance. Expenditures are closely aligned with the July budget so far. Again, with most of our expenses in the fours and fives objects, which is books and supplies and services, they will be front loaded, given that when the school opens is when a lot of those expenditures are going to take place. So we will expect to see those a little higher than the other items, such as salary, which is a little bit more consistent throughout the year. So I can go over that into detail once we get into the sites, but just so you guys have an idea of what you're looking at. Right now, we do have a budget surplus projected for Long Valley of $235,000 with an ending fund balance of a little over $3 million. Thompson Peak is currently budgeted for a $340,000 ending surplus with an ending balance of right around $2 million. Both sites are looking to demonstrate fiscal stability, also improving reserves, and we're going to meet all obligations as scheduled. At this point, we're about 17% through the year. And as I mentioned, there's going to be some front-loaded costs that you'll see a little bit higher on the detailed version of this, but it is to be expected. So let's go into the details. So here's a quick look at our balance sheet. You can see the cash is strong for both, as I had mentioned. Our assets are right on line. We are looking at several fixed assets purchases through ESSER, which Sherry has already probably discussed with you guys, I'm sure. Specifically, the fence that will be coming in, and that will be the only major change we'll see as far as fixed assets are concerned. Liabilities are right on line to where we would expect them to be, clearing out prior year AP and moving forward with our current year liabilities. It's continuation of the balance sheet. And again, if anyone has any questions or anything they'd like to look at specifically, I'd be happy to stop, so please feel free. So here we have a little bit more detailed version of our profit and loss through the year. As I mentioned, you'll notice in the expenditures, our books and supplies and service and operations are a little higher than where we would expect them to be, which is right around the 17% mark. That is normal and is what we are expecting to see on those items. Salaries are coming in a little lower, and when it's only June and August, we will see this, given that June is not not going to have the expenses as you would expect to see during the regular year. As far as revenues, we are looking good. We do have a little bit lower than we expect as far as other revenues. State revenues are right where they should be, and federal revenues are a little bit higher, given that state revenues are usually a little bit more consistent. Federal revenues tend to lag just because, well, it's the federal government. So here we have a much more detailed breakdown of each one of these items. And at this point, if anyone has anything specific that they would like to review, I would be happy to go into any one of these individual object codes or expenditures. One thing to take a look at here is if we look at Long Valley and Thompson Peak individually, we do have a negative as far as our actuals at this point. Again, revenues tend to lag in the first couple months of the year, so that is not something to be concerned about, but it is something that we will continue to monitor. We'll move on to our last item here, which is our cash flows. As I mentioned in the beginning, cash flows do look fairly strong for both of our sites. Days cash on hand, we recommend 45 and over 10%. You guys are far beyond that threshold with 280 and well in the 70% range of your expenditures for both sites. Here is Thompson Peak's cash. And that's the last item that I have here. Did anyone have any questions or anything you'd like to go over specifically?
I'm seeing all no's. Thank you, Matthew.
Not a problem at all. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Matthew.
Guess it's easy when we have good news.
At least on the financial front.
Yes. Well, thank you guys. I will be here and available if there's any questions that you have for me.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, Sherry, that puts us back in our informational items, and we're at the LCAP, or we finished the LCAP. I don't remember.
We didn't discuss it. I did send the local indicators. It's a report we have to do annually, and just to say these are the local things. It's not a state measurement. It's a local measurement, and you have that report.
Okay. And then we've got the funding status for the purchase of Doyle and the Susanville buildings.
Nothing simple. Nothing simple. So you know that we have been talking to Umpqua Bank about the purchase of Susanville. Okay. They have been just a dream to work with. They want to do the loan. They sent somebody up to do an appraisal. They've had an inspection. I'm kind of like, whoa, at the point they were doing all that, you haven't even seen a signed PSA, purchase sale agreement. And so anyway, the agreement has been signed actually by Mr. Kirak. He was out on fire, but it got taken care of. So everything proceeding along.
Where are we at with the USDA?
Let me tell you then what happened. So one of the conditions of the USDA loan, which is conditionally approved, it's a requirement that we apply for interim financing, because USDA, when there's construction, makes you do an interim financing loan to pay for it, and then they'll close the loan and give you all the funds. You know, repay that interim financing. So one of the conditions is any change in your financial picture, you have to report to USDA. So I contacted our person. Like, I thought we'd be so long done by now, right, with the USDA. Silly me, over 3 years. I keep hearing from people, maybe Matthew has even said it to me, some people take 5 years to get through the process, right? Anyway, so I reported it to our rep, and Mike says to me, oh, we have never had this happen before. Like, okay. And so I filled him in with everything, and I've tried to be very transparent with him so that he's aware of what we're doing and why and stuff. And he goes, well, maybe the bank will loan you on the Doyle. If all of a sudden you can find financing, he said, the USDA loan is only when you can't get financing. And if you can get financing somewhere else, so he had 2 points. If you can get financing somewhere else, you really can't do the USDA loan. And the second point was, boy, I'm really bad today. Another point that he brought up was they want a lien on our revenue from Thompson Peak, Umpqua does, but he said, we are going to take a lien on all your revenue, so that's a problem. And I'm going to need a letter from Umpqua saying they won't fund the Doyle project to even keep moving. So Umpqua said, well, we'd be interested. And then USDA said, well, we can back the loan. And, you know, Umpqua was like, that's fine. So they looked at doing the Doyle project. And the only way they would fund it is this way. They would fund it they do a 25-year amortization. The loan would come due in 15 years. And they still are requiring a 65% loan to value. So basically they said you'd have to do less of your project. You couldn't do everything that you wanted and it would require the appraisal to come in higher than it did a few months ago. Well, that sounds like they really can't fund it. Well, the other point that Mike had made was they gave us $232 grant as part of the package deal, right? They're making a loan, giving us some free money because they wanted the school to hang on to its cash. Our thing was we're going to have to put a certain amount of cash, probably about $400,000, into the Thompson Peak project. So all of a sudden, everything was just really feeling pretty wonky. Then Mike called me back and said, well, let's talk. Maybe USDA can do the whole project and Thompson Peak.
Okay.
So we're having conversations about this now. He said, what if I, well, his first question was, if I could make it happen in 90 days, would that be okay? Because I explained our relationship with Mr. Kirak. He said, okay. He said, find out that first. So I approached the Kiraks. They're fine. And actually what they said was, whatever it takes, you know, we could do 90 days and just whatever it takes, because we want the school to have its best possibility and outcome. The loan at Umpqua for the Doya project would be like $12,000 a month. And to me, that's unaffordable from where we are. And Matthew can nod or say, no, you could do that. but anyway, we just have much better terms with USDA. So, okay, so yes, we could work out the time. And then he said to me today, I'm going to really try to make it that you don't have to do another feasibility study, which would cost us like $20,000 each time plus hours of work. And I said, I will quit if I have to. I said, unless my DMS people can do another study. And he said, you know what? I might be able to sell that. So, you know, to be continued, Matthew, but he said the other thing was we'd have to bring the property up to ADA accessibility with doing that purchase. You know, we're not having to redo the bathrooms in here because when we put the gymnasium on the property, that will have ADA bathrooms. So we're not having to redo that here, but that's not the case in Susanville. So we have to bring bathrooms up to code. I made some suggestions to him. He's going to check with his architectural people to find out if what suggestion I had could work. I told him that the auditorium's a bit of a wreck up there and needs work. And I said, we haven't used it. We don't need to use it today. Could we just like kind of say we're not going to use it until we have the money to then bring it up? And he's like, I'll ask. So truthfully, we learned today that our interim loan is approved, which is fantastic. But everything's kind of on hold. Well, the two organizations, worst case scenario, I don't know which is worse. But in the end, with all these conversations, Umpqua would still do the Thompson Peak loan. USDA will still do the Doyle loan. And the only issue then is to who has primary rights to the money. They'd have to like sort of figure that piece out. And both of them said they're willing to come together and have that conversation, which is great. So we have like many possibilities. I want to pursue the USDA because that's the best case scenario for the school as far as term and interest rate and all that kind of thing. But of course, there's some strings that need to be ironed out. So you guys have questions for me? Thoughts? Opinions?
Yeah. I'm glad it's you, Sherry, and not me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so in my comfort zone.
How can they think if it normally takes 5 years that your finances aren't going to change? That's ridiculous.
Hey, Matthew, when you've had other people go through, do they keep making them do? They've made us do two feasibility studies just as time's gone on.
That has been the case as well with our clients where it's dragged on for whatever reason. It could be either side. They'll just make you do another feasibility study, which, as you mentioned, is hours and hours and money out of your pocket.
Right. See, I'm thinking if DMS can do it, they have access to all our financial records. So way easier for it to be on that side, right? Anyway, selling you guys down the river, Matthew.
That's what we're here for. We got a boat and a paddle. We'll be okay.
Okay. Okay, well, I just wanted to give you that update of where we are. Squishy ground.
Okay, that leads, if we're done with that craziness, that puts us at informational item E, our correspondence.
Yep. And I did send you all a copy of John's letter resigning. And then I contacted him and said, are you going to be here tonight? He goes, no, I can't make it tonight. So tonight's official last night, but he's absent. You know, we've put out notice that we're looking for someone. We need somebody to be the Susanville rep, was the position that John held. Stacy's up there in Susanville, but she is a member at large, at least at this point. So that Susanville role is still open.
So Susanville role means it's somebody that has to live in that, in Susanville.
They, right. They have to live in the area served by Thompson Peak.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've had no response. And Kelly, are you still there?
Yeah, we're here. I don't know why it's showing the back of the owl, but
yeah. No, sometimes it just does that kind of thing. Can you, I assume you didn't get anybody come in and say, hey, give me an application, I want to be a member.
No, but I've been asking, and yeah, they say, I don't know.
Good.
We had an application. Remember the applicant? What was she, like a year or so ago?
Yeah, we just hired her at Susanville, so she can't be that person now.
Oh, she's an employee.
She's an employee now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I did contact Larry, and I haven't heard back from him because he has kids up at the Susanville.
Oh, he site. Did. Well, that was my question about where they actually had to reside.
But he served, his kids are served there. So he could.
Oh, right.
So I put a note out to him. I haven't heard back from him. But meanwhile, the governor signed a bill, or we were waiting for the governor to sign this one, I'm not sure, that a student can become a member of the board.
One student
can become a member of the board, which I think is actually really interesting. And I don't know if you all felt that way. It's limited to a high school student, but there's a whole process that they built into there that the high school students have to actually petition the board to have a position on the board. And I contacted the attorneys and said, does it have to be that way, or could we already just build that into our bylaws that we could have a student member? And they said, absolutely, you could do that if that's what you wanted.
Did they vote? They both be full members?
So they do. They cannot break a tie. They get to be a member, but theirs cannot be a tie-breaking vote. And they're not permitted in a closed session.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. But, you know, and I wasn't going to spend our money to have bylaws changed or anything like that without at least having a nod. And I'll put it on the next agenda. But I thought that could end up being our fifth member.
Yeah. The only problem is if you did have a tie, that probably wouldn't happen very often. We had student trustees at the college. And it was
very good. How was that?
They could make motions, they could second, but they couldn't vote.
Okay.
But they had a different perspective, which was good because they're on the ground. Just like you're on the ground and they're on the ground.
Right. So what I'll do is come up with a change for the bylaws and then bring that back to you guys as an action item.
And so that student could be from any school? Or would it have to be?
I would think so.
So it would be a six board?
It would then be a six member board.
Interesting.
So you can still have...
Well, they can't, if they can't really vote or break it.
They can vote because they can't break a tie.
Right.
Yeah. But you still have to build the one that John...
Yeah. At this point, yeah.
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 But if a student came on, you still would have to.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. But it's a good time to be thinking about, think it'd be fantastic to have a student member because I think they bring a perspective that's really, like you said, from, you know, they're in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We always had good ones, real good ones.
Was Violet one?
She was one.
She was, right? Mm. Smart. Okay, I'm good, Christian.
Okay, so then that leads us to action items. So item A, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the updated employee handbook. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second. Thank you. Well, thank you, Sean. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Great. Item B, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of a stipend for the Doyle classroom teachers for additional independent study duties from our ESSER funds. I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Thank you, Wilma. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Perfect. Item C, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of a stipend for employees, again, from the ESSER funds. I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Was that Stacy?
Yes.
Thank you. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Okay. Item D, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of revised fencing project in Doyle utilizing the ESSER II and general funds. I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Thank you. Is that Wilma or Stacy?
Wilma.
Wilma, thank you, Wilma. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Great. Item E, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of revised COPS grants expenditure for security cameras for Long Valley Schools. I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
What about Thompson Peak?
So, if you don't mind, this was a grant written by Fort Sage Unified School District.
Yeah.
They did not even consult with us or let us know or ask what we wanted, but they wrote it and they felt that because Doyle was part of their district and Portola, those schools were part of their district, they wrote a grant to buy cameras.
Okay.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
I have one from Wilma.
Thank you. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Thank you. Item F, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the ESSER 3 plan for Long Valley School and Thompson Peak Charter.
Christian, is that okay if we have a quick discussion?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, and really, because I did not get this to you in a timely manner, so hopefully you have it, you received it. Stacy, did you get it?
I got it at the end of my work day, so I really haven't. Just give me a synopsis of it.
So ESSER 3, and Matthew's here, so he might have something to add. So, you know, they just keep drawing money at us, which is okay, right? But there, this money from the CARES Act is very specific on what it can be used for. On the third page to what you have, I included the allowable expenses. So they're very specific on this. This one has a much longer term. Do we have to the end of 2024, Matthew, to spend it? Is that true?
That's correct.
And you can see, if you look at the bottom of page 2, the total, Long Valley has $379,000 and change, and Thompson has $250,000 and change. We put out surveys. When Whitney had one of her meeting with staff, she asked for their input. Like, how should this money be spent? Overwhelmingly, parents, students, teachers talked about wanting extra help with tutoring, more paras, more tutors, tutor more times when kids could drop in at the independent study sites to get help with their work and, you know, have that level of tutoring going on. So you see that those are the first two items. And I can't believe how many parents were interested in access to an online tutor also for after school when kids were doing homework. I've actually found a program that Stanford stands behind, and they offer an anytime math tutoring, and they even will do it during the school day. So classrooms or the learning centers can actually connect with their tutors even in those places at those times, which I think is pretty cool. Some training, we need more work this summer. I've even put on there a staff training / retreat. We've done this in the past, but haven't really done that since. And I think any opportunity to come together, you know, is really important. And I think there's so much stress and just being overworked that being able to take at the end of the school year an opportunity to just, you know, go to, in the past we've gone to Chalet View over in the Portola area, and you know, anybody who wanted it, they could have a room to spend the night, and we they've been good opportunities. Reading support person, and I think we could do it with one person that traveled to the three locations. I've come across this consulting firm that will do some really interesting training to really empower teachers to understand change and how to move their practice forward. One of the parents wrote me a long thing about how some of the furniture was shabby in places and that they really wanted there to be, you know, sort of some upgraded furniture for kids to hang out on while they're waiting to see their teacher or to have a space to gather. It's going to be in Misty's room here.
Yeah.
Lounge, a couple lounge chairs.
They don't need furniture. They just camp out.
Yeah. And what else is on there? So I added this one in here because this is specifically that whole community school. It is one of the purposes that are allowed, maybe even encouraged, to be developing this community school model. So I wanted to start with, can we hire someone? And it doesn't have to be an educator, because really what you're trying to do is find somebody that can help coordinate other services, understand what's possible, and see. It may be that where we live,
where are these people coming from? Let's get them.
You know, you could talk to Trevor because he's to Ralph's in college because he pulled in EMS, he pulled in fire like you did.
Uh-huh.
Actually the Corona hub there.
Right.
And then when they use the dorms for evacuations for different things. He's a very smart man. And he might be able to help with something.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trevor Alverson.
Yep. And then what was the, I heard this over and over again, they wanted some incentive. So I thought we could get some spirit gear and, you know, teachers can help establish what qualifies as showing improvement so that students can, you know, then have a t-shirt when they improve, that kind of thing. Yeah. Anyway, comments, like I said, I know I got this very late to you, so I wanted to go through it. Jared wants to make a comment.
Is there any chance you could unplug the camera and replug it in there because the flickering's going nutso?
So you want me to plug and unplug the camera?
Or just the... Yep.
Any good now? No, there's nothing now. No picture.
So what does the meets lost instruction time mean?
So Let me try to deal with the camera for a minute. Okay. Are we better?
Yeah. We're
better. Okay. Thanks, Jared. There's something loose apparently where we are plugging in. It worked to do that. So really it's about loss of learning. So through this whole thing, what learning, you know, if they've lost learning, are you doing something to address that specifically? Because you can do all kinds of safety things, you can do COVID things, you know, but they're making sure that a percentage of it is going to student learning.
Okay.
And we're looking at a much higher amount than the minimum that they wanted or that they've set. Okay. So Matthew hasn't had the benefit of seeing this document yet, but he will. We definitely went higher, Matthew.
Can some of that money, Sherry, be used to bring in events for our kids?
If I can link it to mental health or learning, then yes, Christian.
Because I think some of those things that, you know, like we've brought in, I'm drawing a blank on her name, for the teachers to hear from, and we've invited the parents, and it would be, I think, you know, going to that community environment, it would be awesome if we could have events in Susanville and Doyle where it's great for our kids, it's great for the community, you know, and you can find the ones, the one that sticks out in my head that I remember, you know, like the gentleman that would come in and they're like these massive bodybuilders and they're talking about physical fitness and positivity and, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah, and you've had some plays that came in and they did a play in the cafeteria for students.
Well, we had, like last year before, or 2 years ago before the COVID, we had a science STEM activity. They were going to come in and set up, and the kids were going to rotate. They were going to set up the activities. It was out of Reno even that our site committee was going to put on. And but then that was like set a couple of years ago. I just don't know what people are willing to do right now.
So I say that's a fantastic idea. I think students and families would love that opportunity.
And now that we have the building in Portola, we could even host, and with the parking lot, you know, smaller kind of events there too for the Portola families.
Right. I would want to put it in each community so that it was convenient and accessible. Yep. So what do we give up on this list?
Oh man, now you're gonna have to read it again for us to decide. Because it all sounded good when you read it the first time.
It's like, it all sounds great. I just, that was something that came to my mind that I was hearing, you know, for the mental health purpose and the community environment, you know, to have those kind of events. That is the one thing that I've heard that, you know, some people outside of the charter school or homeschool environment, they're always concerned about socialization and socialization for kids. Your kids don't get socialized. And while we know that that's not true, you know, having those events and having different things like that counteracts that.
I give up gathering spaces personally.
Well, I actually looked at that one too, and can we really even do that at this point in time?
Nobody wants to.
I mean, they all have like being masked up and all of that.
You can't do beanbags.
Yeah.
Right.
Fire hazard.
Yeah.
I think with the vents, that is a gathering. Like, I mean,
yeah,
you have a vent. Personally, for this site, I don't know that the other stuff, for this site, that would be the one thing that would probably be the least.
Yeah.
Anybody else have an opinion?
I like the first one. Small group children. And I like.
Thank you.
I like the community school.
Yeah.
And then there was the reading limit.
It's about the fifth one down.
Which one
would you give up, though?
Hiring,
training, teacher,
provide
reading support.
All the other ones.
I don't know about that. Not all of them.
Those three are my top three.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one that came to mind first was the gathering space.
I'm gonna say that the Thrive Consulting, I can do less with them, make those 30,000, a 10 toward doing events. How's that acceptable?
Mm-hmm.
It's project almost based.
Second to the last, Sean.
On the first page.
Of the events thing, you know, you run into the same thing of getting people there. So is it a good bang for our buck, I guess is what I'm wondering, because it's just hard to get people to show up, especially in like the independent study situation. I mean, so I guess that would be my thing is it, can we spend that money better by assisting our teachers more than, you know, having an event? You know, can we find help for our teachers that are drowning with all the laws that and regulations that are put on them, especially, you know, with the new checking in every week with students, and just I don't know. I think that money could be spent better elsewhere.
What kind of events are you guys talking about?
You know, you would have to determine what the event is. And I'm just going to say, Miss Kelly, that you put on a winter event where you build
gingerbread houses
and such. You know, you could bring in a gingerbread house building expert, and I'm having a little fun with it. You guys could brainstorm and say, what is it we're going to do with that? You're going to have a meal. You're going to bring in entertainment. You're all going to build your thing. So I think they could be those kind of events also.
So already budgeted for already some of that extra support that we've not been able to find. Anyway.
Yes.
That's what
we have. Budgeted,
yeah. Cause
for
I was
that.
Like, we have that. We just can't
right.
find the people.
Right.
If I'm understanding.
Yeah.
And from the site-based perspective, I, you know, I understand independent study, you know, we have the kids here on site. So for our students, and I think for independent study students too, to be honest, it's that socialization, that mental health. I think having those events,
yeah.
I know just from the one back to school night event, people were just parents, students, they were just so grateful to be able to be part of something at their school again. It was a very nice evening. So
right.
I think to be able to do something like that is actually very beneficial.
So, and here's the thing, Stacey, I want to say that this diagram, this chart does not have to be what it is, and they don't have to be identical for both schools. If Thompson Peak has a different idea, we can alter that plan without
Absolutely.
Problem.
Yeah. We're on Friday. That's what we're talking about?
That's the one I was saying I take some money away from and put into events.
Where's events in?
Now it's a new line that you don't see yet.
It's a Christian suggestion.
Coming soon.
Can I ask a question? What does it mean by interactive cycles and science of change?
Yeah, it sounds...
Let's define that.
Yeah, okay. Interactive cycles are actually putting together what are your action steps. It's about setting goals, trying them out. For so many weeks, that's an interactive cycle. And
okay.
then analyzing your data and going back and saying, is that effective?
Like deliverables?
Yeah, we've been trying to move everybody to project-based learning, to mastery-based learning. And some teachers have done a fantastic job of moving along, but not everybody.
What are we 10 years into mastery learning now?
Yeah, we're about, I think it's 7, but yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So I want more help to get everybody.
And the change? Science of change.
Yeah, that's a whole new thing. Science of change is to understand the psychology of how you get people to change their habits.
And what are we changing to?
Good habits, Sean.
Mastery-based learning.
Is that it?
Yes.
It's the easy question.
I was thinking how to answer you. You know, a little bit of smart ass.
It
wouldn't come to me.
It's a little delayed.
Okay. Well, to me, lost instruction time is very important, but I can also see where Thrive Consulting and events, because events is part of that community, because we've had a lot of things here. I don't know about the other sites. No, I know about our site. We had the science night. I used to have movie night. A lot of people used to come. Mm-hmm. And especially like you were talking with all this lockdown garbage, people like, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, and each location can really brainstorm what their community there needs or wants. Jared offers pizza. You can have, 70 people show up to come have pizza. Doesn't even have to be anything entertaining.
So are we doing, well, this is an action item.
This is an action item because it's time. And we can, I'm going to say this, Matthew, correct me if I'm wrong, but we can always come back and reevaluate, write an updated plan if we can't find the people to hire, or, all of a sudden Misty says, I want an event every week, I'm going to plan.
Because we can't find the people to hire.
Yeah.
Yes, this, as you stated in the beginning, we have quite a while to spend this money. So for the CDE to, let's say, expect us to stick to this dollar for dollar would be a little unreasonable. This is just our outline of how we would like to spend this fund, that we have a plan in place, I believe, is the biggest thing that they're looking for. That way they can report that, yes, this money is going to be spent, and it's going to be spent on what it is intended for.
So when would you start spending this money? If it was approved?
So I have a couple things that I've said are summer 2022. The majority of it starts all next school year.
Okay.
The only thing I want to add in sooner is I think we can get access to that online tutoring maybe by January and start doing that.
So can we do a first reading and come back next, or are we in a
Well, here's the, I have
or it has to be approved.
October 29th deadline to submit a plan to the state. And I don't think you really want a special meeting for that.
No.
But we can always come back, she said, and bring it back up later.
So, Stacy, would you like to do a motion with the modified for Thompson Peak?
Yes, thank you, Sean. I would like to modify for Thompson Peak, but I would really rather go to the teachers and see where they find the benefit.
They did come back with that they wanted the money spent because that's who we asked, and your families and your students. In fact, a lot of students responded to this one from Thompson Peak, and they want this tutoring, and they want online tutoring, and they want drop-in time to be able to work on their work at the building.
I think, yeah, and if the sooner we get that, the better. You know, as far as tutoring goes for the kids. So, okay, yes, I move a motion to approve.
As is?
Modification.
Modifying. Will we modify?
I don't have specifics, but I mean, I guess we can modify it as we go. So let's approve.
I want to suggest that we add the events line in there.
Okay.
That's fine.
Reduce the Thrive Consulting to 30,000 at 10,000 for events.
Right.
That's the motion she made.
Okay.
As long as Christian's okay with it. All right. We got to smile.
Okay. We got to take in a vote.
Okay. Did we have a motion and we have it a second?
Two.
Okay. So all in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Sean.
Aye.
Wilma.
Aye.
Stacy.
Aye.
Thank you. So on to item G, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of establishing a governing board ad hoc committee to explore future leadership structure and succession planning. Because Sherry thinks she can retire.
Okay. I am 60, I'll be 61 in 2 months. And I really think that at 65, I'm going to stop working full time or 30 hours a week. Really, I kind of want to step down a little bit and drop down to maybe 30 hours in another year or two and then finish out. So we just have to make a plan so that we can get everybody trained to take it on, look like. So I think you need 2 members to be part of this committee. Committee, I think we can really hash out a lot of the detail, look at who we have currently to see how to best utilize and what that structure might look like. So I think we need 2 board members to do that. So we're not.
Would you be part of that?
Well, I would meet with that committee. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
To approve.
But I need 2 names to attach to it.
We have 2 people that don't.
Can't be for not
Sean. I think so. Sean might be volunteering.
I don't mind doing it.
I'll do it.
Is that good with everybody?
Yeah. So what 2 names do we have?
Well, Willa and Sean.
Perfect. So we'll make a motion to the approval of an establishment of a governing board ad hoc committee to consist of Sean and Wilma to explore future leadership structure and succession planning. I'll make a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Thank you. Item H, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of a contract with Nick Trover for construction phase of the USDA Doyle project. I'll make a motion. Do I have a second?
I would like you to edit the motion, if you would, amend it to dependent, you know, contingent on Bernie's approval. For her review. She reviewed, she came back today with a couple of suggestions. I already talked to Nick about it, but I don't have those completed. So if we could do it that way.
And will the whole UNCLA, USDA, all of that have any effect on this?
It will, in that if for some reason USDA is not doing the Doyle project,
right,
it'll probably pause it all. Are you good, Christian, with amending that to contingent on the attorney's final review?
Yes. Awesome. So we will, it's a motion to approve the contract with Nick Trover for the construction phase of the USDA Doyle project once the attorneys have gone through and reviewed it, or contingent on that. Is that correct, Sherry? Okay, I'll make the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Sean. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Item I, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the purchase and installation of a mini split units in 2 of the Doyle classrooms. I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Thank you, Wilma. All in favor? Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Thank you. Item J, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the updated independent study policy.
Move to approve.
Thank you. I'll second. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
So future items, safety report, COVID safety plan update, reports on the spring 2021 testing if they are released. Anything else?
The student to be on the board.
Right. Student member of the board, we'll add that. Okay.
If that is everything, we can adjourn, and it is 1905.
Thank you.
Thank you.